Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. That was written by Rudyard Kipling well over 100 years ago, and I've quoted the poem If on the Savage Nation for over 15 years. It has real meaning for me today, because I am going to try to keep my head, even though all those around me in this city of freaks and perverts and drug addicts and illegal aliens have already lost their heads, and they're trying to blame it on me. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What part of the statement that I allegedly made has a racial component in it? What part of it has a racial component in it? The answer is none. There's no reference to Latinos. There's no reference to Hispanics. There's no reference to race whatsoever. Yet these far-left extremists like Sandoval, the hateful clown, the sissy, Ammiano are putting the word race all over the thing because they're trying to use the poor Latinos for their own communistic ends. And I really condemn them for abusing the Hispanic Latino community for their own communist ends. Most of these hardworking people don't even understand they're being manipulated and used by these white communists in this country in order to push the communist agenda. But I'll get to that later on. This is a classic case of Animal Farm race baiting by Sandoval, Ammiano, and the other scoundrels. The fact is, there was no racial element in what I said. Now, I have no idea why he would imply that I was talking about Latinos when I said, if they want to fast, then let them fast until they starve to death. Let me ask you something. Have you never heard of sarcasm or satire? When you raise children, they often pull hissy fits like this. Daddy, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to eat my breakfast. I'm not going to eat anymore till I'm not going to eat till I starve, say the children. See, what you do to a child like that who's pulling a fit is you don't hit the child. You say to the child, oh, you don't want to eat. I'll tell you what, don't eat until you starve to death. Then you'll see what you get. And you walk away from the child, and usually they'll start eating within the next meal. So that's what I said. Now, if these idiots don't understand sarcasm and satire, that's their loss, not mine. I can't help them if they're illiterate drug addicts, because that's what they apparently are, racist, illiterate drug addicts, trying to use the poor Hispanic people in this community for their own ends, which is communism, socialism. That's what they want. They want to take what is not theirs and give it to themselves and also aggrandize power upon themselves. That's number two. Now, as I speak, they have mobilized, I don't know, tens of dozens of groups all the way from L.A., and they bust them up. Where they got the money from can be traced all the way probably back to Brussels or to Zurich or to the DNC itself. But virtually every pressure group known to America will be outside the radio station today demanding that I be fired. And what's comical about this is that they're trying to compare what I said to what Imus said. Well, let me bring them up to speed. First of all, Imus just won allegedly $20 to $40 million because CBS had the stupidity to listen to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. So let me tell you right now that Imus didn't lose as a result of these megaphone maniacs. Number two, and this is the most important point, is that what Imus said could be connoted as racist. But you will never find racism in what I say, because I am not a racist and I have no such feelings about Hispanics nor about black people. I believe that these white liberal communists and perverts are the real racists here, because they're yelling race in a crowded nation. The next point is, what part of illegal alien don't you get? Tell me which part of that statement is not correct. Illegal alien, it's a phrase that has meaning under U.S. law. They are illegal and they're aliens, Otherwise, everybody would be a citizen and there'd be no United States of America. Now, if you don't want the United States of America to exist, well, then I can't help you. But you see, I love America. I'm the son of an immigrant. As a matter of fact, my grandmother did not speak a word of English to me as a child. She never learned the language. She came here when she was very old. So I come from an immigrant family. I'm very sensitive to the humanity of immigrants, the struggle of immigrants. And I rose from the gutters of America to the position I have. And no communist, perverted fairy punk is going to take away my livelihood without a fight. Let me tell you that right now. Moreover, if you want to try to use the power of the city of San Francisco to steal my job by lying about me, I will sue you personally and for everything you're worth. And I'll say something else. It's come to my attention from listeners who know what's going on that this rotten, stinking supervisor, Sandoval, has attacked Jews before by trying to incite mob violence to go to Tiburon and to go to bar mitzvahs. He's a racist all the way through and through. Moreover, he's a loser. He has his own radio show. Did you know that? That nobody listens to? It's number three is jealousy. He wants my job because he can't earn it. He's trying to steal it in the great communist tradition. I'm going to fight this man in the court of public opinion on this show, and I'm going to fight him in the courts of law, and you're going to find out that I'm going to win bigger than Imus. It's not going to be a monetary victory, necessarily. It's going to be a victory for the First Amendment. What part of illegal alien don't you get? They are criminals. They stole a free college education, and now they're screaming, give me a free green card? No, you're not getting a free green card. If we had a legitimate federal government, you'd be arrested today and deported out of my country. That's the important thing. Now, I love America, and I want America to exist. If you don't want America to exist, then you've got to fight all of the other Americans who agree with me. The fact of the matter is La Raza Centro Legal is the place that Mr. Sandoval sat on, the board of directors. La Raza, as you may know, means the race. Now, if you would be a member of a group that calls itself the race, you would be shocked to believe that anybody would join a group called La Raza. It means the race, not a race, not an immigrant, but the race. By definition, it means that is the only race and there is no other race. Then I would say, my friends, that they have a long way to go to convince me that they are not a racist Hispanic supremacist group, because that's what it looks like to me. Hispanic supremacists trying to take over the United States of America, one talk show host at a time, not through the court of public opinion, not through any talent, but through race baiting and lies. Now, a great article was written today by Selwyn Duke. It's up on michaelsavage.com under the right second article, Race Baiting Politician Attacks Michael Savage. I am going to read that to you in a moment, and I'm going to actually read it to you right now, but I would invite you to go to my website to see the videos of the so-called protest against spewing venom on the steps of City Hall, of the ugliest city in the United States of America. And I mean that psychologically, this is the ugliest city on earth. It is also the biggest laughingstock in the Western world. It is the biggest laughingstock in the West because the illiberal gang of far-left politicians has stolen the city from the once proud San Franciscans. And if you want to hear the irony here, here is the irony here. They did not pass that resolution condemning me yesterday because of one man. One man who I never met. He's a Chinese American named Ed Ju. Ed Ju did not go along with these communist race baiting swine. And for that, they will never forgive him. I don't know Mr. Ju, but here's what he said. He said, I don't know what Mr. Savage said, but if his alleged comments are what you say they are, I don't agree with them. But he has every right to say them under the First Amendment. Well, the vermin who hates me went crazy in the halls of the city of San Francisco last night using the most, I think, Soviet-era rhetoric I've never heard Soviet-era rhetoric like this. When Sandoval said to Mr. Ed Ju, a Chinese, do you have that soundbite where he uses some Soviet-style words on him? Play it now. Play it
Supervisor
now.
Supervisor Ju, through the president, if you have First Amendment reservations, I encourage you to ask the city attorney. And I know in my heart that if this commentary was directed at the Chinese American community or the Asian community, you would not be resorting to this empty, and rigid formalism on your part. And
hold it.
I ask,
hold it. Empty and rigid formalism on your part. Is there an intellectual scholar out there who can tell me where that rhetoric comes from? He says to a Chinese-American supervisor who won't go along with his Soviet-style Hitler-like tactics, empty and rigid formalism. To me, it smacks of the ex-Soviet Union. But it also smacks of racism against Chinese. He is using a stereotype about Chinese by saying empty and rigid formalism. At least that's how I think he's using it. That's how others have seen this. This man is a racist through and through. And we're going to show you at the end of today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, at the end of the day, that I am keeping my head, although many around me are losing theirs and trying to blame it on me. And at the end of the day, I will be a man, my son. And I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to take your calls.
Savage.
Más, más, más. La Nación de Savage. Solamente aquí.
Now, I've been using that for years because I play Latin music on the show from time to time. I guess somebody could say that that's an insult to somebody. If they're a demented fool, they can say anything they wish. That doesn't mean that I have to listen to them. If a madman comes up to me babbling, it doesn't mean I have to take them seriously, even if they wear a business suit and they call themselves a supervisor. Who else would take a job like that but somebody who can't do anything else? Now, we're going to go a little forward here on the Savage Nation. The debate around me is raging on all over the Bay Area. There's a great KTVU Channel 2 piece from this morning. It's pretty good. It was done well. I don't like getting up that early, but I did it for the show. And there's a lot of other good things. And we're going to have, by the way, the supervisor, Mr. Jew, on this program in a few minutes. I never met the man, but at least he understands the First Amendment. I got to commend him. It seems that none of the other geniuses in the San Francisco government understand the First Amendment, or they're such doctrinaire left-wing radicals that they all go along in a party-like vote, which is, of course, what they did, which is why most people hate them and sneer at them and spit at them. Now, I want to go back to the racism and the Soviet-era dialectic used by Sandoval when he condemned Mr. Ed Jew with this strange statement that you would not be using such rigid formalism. I've never heard this, but every instinct in my educated brain tells me it comes from the Soviet Union. Gene is from Chicago. He calls the Savage Nation. Gene, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, hi. Although I don't always agree with you, I would very much see, feel sorry if you would have to succumb to this pressure. And the rhetoric that they're using, this word, the minute you said, I wanted to call because I'm originally from Russia and my family is from Russia. And this is smacks of Stalin-era persecutions of intellectuals in 1940s.
Hold on. So when this Gerardo Sandoval says to a Chinese-American that you would not resort to this empty and rigid formalism, that you say is very much like Stalinism. It comes out of the Stalinist rhetoric.
There was a Stalin's henchman by the name of Zhdanov, who was in charge of all culture and supervised, so to speak, and persecuted Prokofiev and Shostakovich and all the great composers and great intellectuals and writers and Pasternak and so forth in Russia. And that's what he said. He said that their music is formalistic, which is like ridiculous.
Oh, my God. So Sandoval is using straight-out communist rhetoric against people who oppose him. So it's everything I've said and worse, Gene. These are Soviet-era little apparatchiks who are going crazy because somebody dares stand up to them.
Shocking how it could happen, even.
I know how it could happen. Just as the Russians went after Shostakovich and Pasternak, these little men are trying to go after Michael Savage. The Lilliputians think they're going to get me. I got another guest coming for them. When this train comes out of the tunnel, the handcuffs will be around their hands and they'll be locked to a post, not me. Thank you, Gene. I knew it. I knew it. So the very same language that this little man, Sandoval, this little loser, this little jealous loser who's fomenting poor, innocent, hardworking Hispanic people is doing it using communist tactics. Exactly what I said. Now, for a man like him, I could expect it. But would you expect it from a man named Aaron Peskin, an American citizen in San Francisco, to go along with this rigid Soviet formalism? It's amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen, how sad and pathetic the stupid visors are in the city of San Francisco. So I'll let you talk right now. If you want to say something, you can, right at the Savage Nation. But please go on to michaelsavage.com. The best articles and videos of the entire event are there. You say, well, oh, you're a self-centered guy. Hey, there's no bigger story in the media right now. There's no bigger story in the American media right now. I am the point man for free speech in America. Not Rush Golfbag, not Sean Wallbanger. Michael Savage is the number one target of the illegitimi in this country. And I have an answer for them. Illegitimi non carborundum. Baby, you're not going to grind me down. You'll grind yourself down with your own hatred. And I got some good news for my supporters out there. The more these windbag leftist phonies continue to scream racism in a crowded nation, the more we know that they are the actual racists. One day, this beautiful city that I live in will be retaken by the hardworking heterosexual people who built it, not by these left-wing, anti-family, anti-Catholic, anti-Jewish, anti-military, anti-police vermin. This gang of leftist vermin who have stolen the city from the beautiful people of this city. They're not all like this. Make no mistake about it. They hate these supervisors. They're hated by everybody in this city except a very small band of demented fools who think that they run this town. But let me tell you something. Every dog has his day, and I haven't had mine yet. And I want to thank the local TV station KTVU. They're the only ones who ask me my opinion. So let's play for a moment or two that KTVU piece from this morning. Just start it. Go ahead, please.
Current war of words over Michael Savage and his radio show is certainly not the first. His controversial remarks have made headlines before. But is it all, protected by free speech? Savage's attorney, Daniel Horowitz, joins us in studio this morning. Thanks for being here. Michael Savage is on the phone with us this morning. Michael, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Let me read your quote. I would say, let them fast until they starve to death. Then that's
all. Hold it right there. We'll come back to this when I return right here with Supervisor Ed Chu on the Savage Nation.
Supervisor Chu, to the president, if you have First Amendment reservations, I encourage you to ask the city attorney. And I know in my heart that if this commentary was directed at the Chinese American community or the Asian community, you would not be resorting to this empty and rigid formalism on your part. And
all right, let's pause right there. To me, someone said to me that was a stereotype aimed at Mr. Ed Chu, who I've never met, by the way. I suspected, and we found out, that rhetoric is right out of the Soviet Union when they were trying to suppress any kind of dissent. And it was used against Shostakovich. It was used against great composers and artists. And it's now being used against me by this little petty bureaucrat, Sandoval. But the issue is a little different than you may think. Only one man stood up. I don't know Mr. Ed Chu. He doesn't know me. But I was so pleased to see a man who understands the First Amendment. I believe he said what Michael Savage allegedly said, I don't agree with, but he has a right to say it because he's protected by the First Amendment. That apparently got the entire Board of Supervisors really crazy. Joining us right now is a great American, a real great American, who I've never met, incidentally, Mr. Ed Chu of San Francisco. Thank you very much for taking the trouble of being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me on here. And I'm not a great American, I'm just an American.
Well, look, we don't know each other. I got to tell you something. Last night, after all of this pressure I'm under, I went into one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Shanghai 1930, you know, and it's amazing because I talked to some of the cooks, and a lot of the Chinese people, they really like me, and they understand communism, and they understand conformism, and they understand terror against the individual. You're having your own constitutional rights in the attacked right now, aren't you, sir?
Yes, that's correct. You know, self-incrimination, the Fifth Amendment, and, you know, it's been a pile-on, and I just want to keep it at that.
Okay. With you in the studio, with you is your attorney, I understand. Is that correct, Mr. Steve Gruhl?
Oh, that's correct. Hello,
all right.
Michael. You know, I don't want to talk a lot about legalese and such, but you asked the question and exactly right. There's an issue going on here in San Francisco about Mr. Drew's ability or his legal ability to be a resident of the district that he is serving as we speak. The city attorney and the district attorney have essentially worked in tandem to have him come in on the one hand and try to explain why he is a resident of that district. And on the other hand, if he does come in and explain while he's there, they plan to use that against him in a criminal proceeding. So you have the Fifth Amendment of the United States essentially being used as a whip to try to get himself in trouble.
But, well, you know, I'll go into that for a minute. It's true that many police and firemen don't live in the city of San Francisco. Should they all be fired?
Well, anyways, they're trying to make it so that the firemen and police officers reside in the city, but it's very difficult due to the fact that the cost of housing is so expensive. So they're trying to do something on when it comes down to that. But when it comes down
Mr. Gruhl, has Mr. Drew been in trouble with the supervisors before? Forget me. And before this issue of residency, has he stood apart in the past because of his independence? Has he taken positions that were not, let's say, lockstep with Sandoval et al.?
Well, I couldn't have said that any better. One of the things that the Supervisor Drew, I think, is known for in this community is being his own man, his own voice, and looking, quite frankly, looking out for the betterment of the city as opposed to, you know, some sort of agenda that might be to promote something that really doesn't deal with things like potholes and homelessness and things like that.
But what I want to add, Mr. Savage, is that I was elected by the people in the District 4, which is the Sunset Park side, and I promised that I will work on issues that are going to help the community, which is address the pothole issue, pedestrian safety, help small business, make sure our kids can go to a neighborhood school, and just basically improve the quality of life issues that are really important, because everybody works one job or two jobs, and we're local officials, not state senators or congressmen, and not representing the Supreme Court. And I really believe that the local representative should take care of local issues. So that's what I've been concentrating in doing.
Well, what's amazing to me is that Sandoval had the nerve to say, had these comments been aimed at the Asian American or Chinese American community, these racist comments, so-called, blah, blah, blah. There was no racism in anything I said. I said that the illegal aliens who were going on a so-called hunger fast are like children to me, and if they want to fast, they should fast until they starve to death in a sarcastic manner, the way I would say it to children who were saying, Daddy, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm not eating breakfast because I don't want to go to school. I'd say, well, you don't want to eat, so don't eat till you starve to death. Remember, I'm a sarcastic guy from the East Coast. This is how I talk. But I don't think I'm the only person in the world who uses sarcasm. But there's no racism in there. There's no reference to any particular ethnic group. So this whole thing is being distorted for political reasons. And I would go a step further, Mr. Drew, and I don't expect you to agree or disagree with me. Am I assuming that your district is has a significant Asian American population in it?
Correct. It's about 55% Asian American population.
Okay. And are you the only Asian American on the Board of Supervisors?
Completely correct.
I would say that we should look into the racism of Sandoval in attacking you and the rest of them. Maybe there's a little racism in there against Chinese Americans or Asian Americans. Maybe they're the real racists here. But I'll leave that for your attorney in his defense of you. The bigger picture here is that what was your exact statement back to Sandoval? Is that you don't know what Michael Savage said, but if the comments are such, you don't agree with them? Is that what you said?
I said, for the record, that I don't agree with what Mr. Savage says, but he has his First Amendment rights to have his own comment. And I want to basically say that I don't agree with my wife, and she has her own First Amendment rights.
Oh, you're good. That's great. Yeah. I don't know who agrees with their wife. That's funny. Or which wife agrees with their husband. All right. Yes. But we have First Amendment rights to disagree with each other. That's what America and democracy is all about. So now you're facing this persecution by a gang there, in my words, not yours. And I've learned today that they don't like you prior to me and prior to this trumped up. I watched this evolve against you, Mr. Drew, before you stated that you're for the First Amendment. They were all ganging up on you, and I said, what is really behind all of this? It can't be a residency thing. It's that this man is an independent, Are you a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent?
Well, if you take a look at the way I vote, I'm an independent, but I am a registered Democrat.
Well, but you're not Democrat enough for the Democrat Party. You're not left-wing enough, apparently, and that makes you a conservative. I think you ought to run for the mayor's office. You know what's liable to happen? If you ran for the mayor's office, whenever the next election is, I don't know whether you'd win, but the tens of thousands of San Franciscans who have been so disenchanted with what's gone on in this city are liable to come out and vote for you. People who haven't been heard from for 10 years would come out and vote for you, Mr. Jew, because they understand that you're not part of this little party operation going on in the city that's running this wonderful city into the ground. It's a laughingstock around the country, and a very mean little laughingstock at that. But I'll give you the last word. I understand you're having your own civil rights issues, your own constitutional rights in jeopardy, or jeopardized, rather, by Sandoval and his gang. What can the listeners of this show do, both in the city of San Francisco and outside, if anything, to help you in your legal troubles with them when they're trying to get you thrown out?
Well, I think the bottom line is that I do have a court case when it comes down to my residency issue, and that's going to be coming up most likely in October. All I ask is individuals to really, if they can, participate, listen into it, but don't believe what you completely read in the paper, because in the last 47 days, a mainstream paper was 90% was very, very biased in one way, and all I can say is that they had the freedom of expression and freedom of speech, and I didn't come out and trounce them. I just kept them to myself, and I think that was the way I was brought up, being a third-generation San Franciscan, and I am going to continue to do my job as a supervisor, and I'm just knowing that my attorneys have a good case with me working on it when it comes down to domicile and the intent. So,
I hear you. It's interesting what you just said, Supervisor. You said that 95% of the media coverage against you, about you, has been against you by the local paper, and they've distorted the actual issues of residency. It's exactly the same with me. There was no racial element in anything that I said, and yet these hysterical race baiters are screaming race in a crowded city and a crowded nation. There was no reference to Latino or Caucasian or Asian in anything I said. And yet they're trying to turn it into an issue of race for their own demonic ends. And I certainly understand that. Last point I'd like to make is this. Did you know me before this? Did I know you? Did we ever meet before?
I've never met you, and I've heard about you, and have not even... if I bump into you in the street, I wouldn't even know who you are.
All right. I just want people to understand this is no setup issue, but I hope after this that reasonable minds can cool down a little bit and actually listen to what I said and analyze where you actually reside before they rush to judgment in this kind of crucifixion that's going on in San Francisco by these mean-spirited little men. And perhaps one of these days you can be my guest in Shanghai 1930 for a dinner, because I love that restaurant.
I would love to.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Edju, and his attorney, Steve Gruhl, for taking the time to be with us on the Savage Nation. Well, that's it. So there it is. There's no racism in my remark. You heard, here's the one lone supervisor who stood up for me. My mother was right. My mother was right. At the end of the day, it comes down to one thing after you're 80, 85, and I'm not there yet. No matter what I said to her in the nursing home, well, she called it assisted living. I'd call her 3,000 miles away. I'd say, whatever I said, I could talk about my career, my best-selling book, my children, my wife. All she'd say to me is, I ate Chinese last night and it was no good. And I would get angry. I'd start to steam. I'd say, well, the next night she'd say to me, no matter what I said to her, I ate Italian. To her, the whole thing at the end of your life boils down to Chinese or Italian food. And I know why, because that's true. At the end of the day, it all boils down to food. I heard a friend once say to me many years ago something else. He was a very famous art collector and a real bon vivant womanizer in his early days. I met him when he was much older than me. And he said to me, you know, after it's all settled down, he said, it all comes down to a good meal. He said, if I go to Paris now, he said, I could care less about a beautiful woman. He said, but I would drive all the way to the farthest suburb of Paris if I hear of a great restaurant. So that's neither here nor there, but remember that it's all about good food and good living and good people. And apparently the supervisors of the city have been eating junk food, because all that's coming out of their mouth is junk talk. 1-800-449-8255. What I'd like to do right now is go back to the television piece from this morning. If you don't want to hear it or you don't have the time to listen, go to michaelsavage.com. Let's play the whole a KTVU piece from this morning because I woke up so early to do it. Let's start to plug it in. We'll run half of it here and half of it out of the break. Go ahead.
Current war of words over Michael Savage and his radio show is certainly not the first. His controversial remarks have made headlines before. But is it all, rather, protected by free speech? Savage's attorney, Daniel Horowitz, joins us in studio this morning. Thanks for being here. Michael Savage is on the phone with us this morning. Michael, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Let me read your quote. I would say, let them fast until they starve to death. Then that solves the problem. Did you really mean that, you wanted those folks to starve to death?
Do you have any children?
Two.
You?
Two.
Two, good. When you get a child pulling a tantrum and says, Daddy, I'm not going to go to school today. I'm not going to eat my breakfast. What you say to your child is, look, if you don't want to eat, go ahead. Don't eat until you starve to death. What has happened to satire in this country? Are these people that ignorant that they don't understand what satire is or how to raise a spoiled brat? And moreover, what part of illegal alien don't these hordes understand? They are criminals. They're not citizens. They're demanding the rights of citizens over a citizen.
Let's stay away from the immigration issue. Let's talk about the speech issue.
That's the critical element to the whole thing. They're illegal aliens. They're criminals. How can you stay away from the 400-pound elephant?
All right, let me ask the attorney here, Horowitz, then, to answer the question directly. Address the free speech issue. The illegal immigration we're not going to solve here today. It's going to be debated until the end of time, probably. But is this free and protected speech what he said, no matter how distasteful?
Totally. You just heard it on your airwaves. I mean, should you lose your job because you had Michael on your show saying the same type of thing that he said on his radio air? No, you may want to put on a counter voice tomorrow morning. That's free speech. You don't have a government official, this Sandoval clown, trying to take a man's job because the government doesn't like what Michael Savage said.
All right, well, let's
pause
this
right here. Now, that was my attorney, Daniel Horowitz, and I want to remind you again that Daniel Horowitz is a certifiable liberal, a true liberal, rather than a phony left-wing progressive Soviet-era Stalinist Marxist from hell. And Daniel is offended that they would try to take away my millstone and try to deny me my First Amendment rights. Daniel has it exactly right. In the past, you have seen citizens getting together to try to say to a powerful government or governmental official or agency, you can't do this to us. Rarely, though, have we seen a government standing up, hosting a mob against an individual. This is something out of the Soviet Union where a government comes against a man who stands up to the government. You understand what I'm saying to you here? Do you have any idea what pressure I'm under? Do you have any idea how I am standing up for freedom in this country like nobody else right now? Moreover, this is a seminal case. This case is going to be as big as Brown versus the Board of Education when it gets to the Supreme Court. And when it does, you're going to find out that the last time this kind of thing occurred was when the Ku Klux Klan used the cities of the South against blacks who try to be uppity to them and stand up to them. The Ku Klux Klan, with sheriffs, with mayors, with supervisors, came down on anyone who stood up to them and said, we're not going to let you ride at the front of the bus. You're going to ride at the back of the bus. They use city powers to do that. They use the intimidation tactics of the mob, just like Sandoval and company are doing to me. What happened as a result was the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act was passed of 1871. Apparently, Sandoval, the Columbia lawyer, didn't read that at Columbia. Right now, they're wearing the white sheets, and I am the white Negro, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, look, you know, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son, said Rudyard Kipling in If, and you should buy that poem for your children, download it, whatever. Let's go to the callers. Marisol doesn't like you and doesn't like me. She's calling from KNEW in San Francisco. Marisol, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I've never listened to you before, but I saw it on KTV.
That's okay. I know, but you heard about me and you're listening today. Okay, we all heard it before. You never heard of me. I've been on 15 years. I'm the biggest show in town, but you never heard of me because you're too intellectual, right?
No, I've heard of you, of course. I just care.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, well, thank you that you heard of me. Have you read any of my best-selling books or you don't read books?
Are you going to let me talk?
I don't know. I may or may not. I'm not obligated to let you do anything. But go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Can I ask or no?
I don't know. Go ahead, make your statement.
Thank you. I've been Googling you on Craigslist, and I've been looking you up on Craigslist. I've been looking at all of your, you know, postings on you, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, you'll stop right there. You're not going to put out pre-digested hate speech on my show. It is all lies what you're reading. What is it that you call this show to talk about, Marisol?
Asking you, why do you feel that the majority of your supporters are part of some type of white hatred group or some type of white supremacist?
Wait a minute, where are you coming from? Excuse me, what part of the statement that I made had racism in it, Marisol? Do you know? I'm giving you the opportunity to show you're not a complete bigot. What part of the statement that I made has any racial element in it?
Why do you feel that those are the...
No, you answer me. You answer me. You're not at San Francisco State with a microphone. I am. You're going to answer me. You're making an accusation against me, and I'm going to defend myself. Show me where I made a statement that has any race in it. What's the matter, Marisol? Your little dictator behind you doesn't have an answer? The ACLU lawyer doesn't have a flashcard for you to say anything? They got the little girl to speak to try to sound soft? You are the racist communist, not me.
No, I'm asking you why you feel that most of your supporters are part of some type of hatred group. That's all that I'm asking.
But you're making a stupid statement. How do you know what my audience of 10 million is composed of? Do you know what the demographics are of my audience, Marisol?
What I've come up with. What can I
say? What you've come up with is rubbish. You know nothing. You're an ignoramus.
I said...
Okay. I have a very diverse audience, Marisol, and that's what this is all about. There's great jealousy out there from people like you who don't have real jobs, who want my job, but you don't have the talent. I have a very diverse audience. You'd be surprised how many Asian Americans, African Americans, even Latinos love my show, Marisol. Are you aware of that? Or is that something you haven't read in these little hateful columns you've gone on, looking for your sex ads and in between trying to find something to pin me with? Go back to those cyberspace cesspools and leave me alone. And don't ever listen to my show again. You depress me.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, here we go again. The mobs have been bussed up from San Jose by train now. They didn't bus them up. They trained them up. We have a feed direct from the protest. They're speaking only in Spanish. Apparently, they haven't learned the language of the land yet. But they're useful idiots being used again by the communists behind them. They're hysterical. They don't know what I said, but they know I'm an all-around bad man. I just watched myself on a local TV station from the earlier interview. I got to tell you something. I could use a hunger strike. It looks like I put on a little weight over the last few months. And looking at my antagonist here, Sandoval, it looks like both of us could use a hunger strike. Maybe we should consider it ourselves in order to get in shape. I'm going to consider it at the end of the month. A little hunger strike may go a long way. But this is not a laughing matter when you consider that these mobs are being fomented with hatred by a city government against an individual for something I actually didn't say. They're claiming I said kill the children now. Now, this is real mob hysteria and mob violence. And, of course, you'd expect that from the ACLU type of lawyers who are behind them, who are trying to spur this hatred against me. So I will open the show up to you in a moment. I'd like to go direct live in front of my radio station outside the windows here. We have a live feed. Let's hear what's going on.
To give students hope to fulfill their dreams. Mr. Savage over here calls us terrorists. Tell us to go back home and make bombs. That is not our purpose. That is not our message. These words of hatred are reaching a nationwide where our message is lost, which is to enact the DREAM Act. Hola, muchos.
All right, hold on. You know what the DREAM Act is? Of course it's a dream. You break into the country illegally, and then you get a free college education. Then you want the Dream Act. The Dream Act is, in order to reward you for being criminals, we give you now a green card. The world doesn't work that way, my friend. Of course you want the Dream Act, but it's only a dream, my friend, because you see, your Dream Act went up in smoke when the immigration slash amnesty bill was killed by the American people in the U.S. Congress. And my friend, moreover, we are not living in the mob nation that you left behind, where things are done by vicious, out-of-control police who beat people up and kill them and leave them in the desert. We are a nation of laws, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose in this with this Congress of ours. Right now, my friend, you just lost. The American people and the Congress said no to your Dream Act. They said no to amnesty. They said no to a green card for these lawbreakers. So you just have to become a good American and live with the loss. You see what I mean? But to go after me and say I said this and that and the other thing is crazy. What part of illegal don't you get? Number two, can anyone listening to this show right now please show me one racial component in anything that I have said that these hysterics are talking about there in front of the radio station? Let's go back to the station and listen to the mob. Oh, turn it off. Oh, they're still using the stuff from the 60s? Hey, hey, ho, ho. My God, is that translated now into Spanish? Let me hear that again. Woo! Let's hear it again. Is the chanting over? Oh, they stopped the chanting. It's time for a little snack, I guess. Are they passing out the snacks to the hunger strikers? Hey.
Please get a little bit closer to the mic?
Yeah, get closer to the mic. This is your big moment. Yeah. Okay. Can you get the mic closer to that big mouth of hers? What are you doing there? Get the mic closer to the big mouth.
Por favor, el señor Miguel Robles de Aldi, si está por ahí, por favor, pase el.
This is your country. Look what happened to America. A group of illegal alien communist anarchist socialists from hell are now trying to throw me off the air in a foreign language. You know, if we lived in a legitimate nation where there was a rule of law, the federal government would be there with deportation vans. And they would arrest this woman. These are illegal aliens. They're not citizens. Most of them are here illegally. And they're trying to throw an American-born man off the radio. They're not going to win. They're just not going to win. It's that simple. You know? Kathleen, Indianapolis, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Make your point.
I am a true liberal, like your lawyer, and I am horrified that they're trying to violate your First Amendment rights. It's just wrong. However, I fear that I hear you getting angry and more angry, and I don't want you to stoop to their level.
Okay. So you're worried about my health?
No, I understand that you want to defend yourself, and you have that right. I don't want you to stoop to their level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Extremist dialogue in the defense of my liberty is no vice. And let me tell you something else. Moderation in the defense of liberty is no virtue. This is no time for me to be moderate when I have mobs screaming for my job. You understand, Kathleen? I have to fight with all of my skill and all of my daring and all of my, let us say, quivers in my, whatever they call it, all the arrows in my, whatever they used to shoot. I have to use what I have to use. And if it's a good liberal lawyer like Dan Horowitz, I'll use a good liberal lawyer. Ultimately, I will be exonerated from these unfair attacks, Kathleen. That's the truth. And they are being... Don't you agree that they don't look too good right now? Let me ask you that, Kathleen. You sound like a younger person. Do they look like they're being very fair or kind or reasonable here?
Yeah, I'm 21, and they look horrible. They look like children.
Well, they want something that they didn't get because the immigration slash amnesty reform bill was killed in Congress, and they're very mad. And because they're mad at Congress, they're trying to take it out on me because I was one of the people who... help the American people articulate their distemper for what George Bush and McKennedy were trying to do to us. Kathleen, thank you for calling. Let me send you a gift. Stay in the line. You are one of the lucky individuals to get a copy of my, how many are left? 364 of the Michael Savage Freedom of Speech DVD, the award that was too hot for left-wing Bolshevik C-SPAN to run. Stay in the line. We'll send you a free copy of that. 1-800-449-8255. Is the phone number. This is not easy for me. You may say, oh, he's enjoying it. It's good for his ratings. You know what? I don't know what it's good for, but it's not good for my health. I'm going to tell you right now. It's wearing me out. It's just that I know how to defend myself, but do I want to at this point in my life? after 15 years on the radio with all these bestsellers, I have children who are grown. Do you think I need this in my life right now? Do you think I really want this right now? How many, you know, I have the news guys. They're not bad guys like Rob Roth of KTV. He's actually a very nice man. And he, you know, we had a good time down at the water today. And he said to me this and that. And they said, he said to me, well, they said today that they don't really want you fired. They just want you off the air in San Francisco because it doesn't meet community standards. I said, what? It doesn't meet community standards? I said, what part of the Constitution are they citing? Now, I said, Rob, what if they came to you tomorrow and they said, Rob Roth is a nice guy, but we want him off the television set because he's too white, his hair is too red, and he's Jewish. We want somebody who's brown skin of a Latino descent. I said, is there something in the Constitution that would permit them to do that, Rob? He was shocked. But you see, that's exactly what they're saying, is they want me off the air because I'm too white, too conservative, and not easily bulled by a bunch of BS artists. That's what it comes down to. Denver, Colorado. David, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. How are you, sir? For the last 7.5 years, we have been lectured to by the left-wing ilk like Mr. Sandoval that dissension is the highest form of patriotism, sir. In my opinion, mm-hmm. there is no greater patriot than you, and there certainly is no greater dissent against a left-wing liberal mental disease. And I think Sandoval and his ilk ought to give you whatever Ohio Citizen Participation Award San Francisco can give you, sir.
Well, they did already. By protesting me and by condemning me, they've given me the greatest award of patriotism that this band of left-wing fools can give. Do you know that this very same group of illegitimi in 2002, joined by Annie Tuesom Newsom, the mayor, wrote a commendation of Hugo Chavez, the dictator? They saluted him for the democracy of Venezuela. So I'm very honored that they have now chosen to attack me. It means I am an American and they are something other, David. So let me send you a free DVD today. I'm giving them away. In fact, I'm going to give away something to everyone who gets on the air, if they're good. They're singing an anti-savage blues song. Let me hear it.
Don't denigrate the soul. Savage has to go.
Oh, my God.
Savage has to go.
Oh, my God. Where'd they get this homeless bum? He can't even keep a tune. Wow.
Savage has to go.
Oh. Holy God. They've got every ruffian that they can find from the gutter from San Jose, and they trained them up. Oh, that was good. That's good. He'll be on Letterman tonight.
Thank you, Francisco.
That was, by the way, those of you who want to find the DVD, that was by Francisco. It's called Savage Has to Go. See if you can find it in the local Tower record store. See if you can find Francisco in the Tower on the F in the Tower record store. Who's next? I want to hear more of this. This is live feed outside my studio. Why don't you speak English? Hey. Hey, senorita, speak English so we can understand you across America.
We're not asking that Clear Savage on a nationwide level. What we are saying, lo que estamos diciendo, es que nosotros somos la comunidad de aquí, de San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something about your comunidad. You're not in Tijuana, sister. Go back to Tijuana if you want your community, sister, because I'm not in Tijuana. You're in my country, sweetheart. I'm not in yours. I'm going to a break before I say something I really mean.
Savage.
If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling wrote If, and I've read it on the show many times. And I knew this day would come, and the day is here. It's like, you know, we all know that one day we're going to have to face this or face that, but we put it off. We figure, well, it's in the future. I'll deal with it when it comes. And, you know, I watched it with my father. He was a proud, strong immigrant, and one day it happened. He got that heart attack, and overnight he became an invalid. He went from being a strong, loud, forceful man to an old man, weak man, and I didn't like it. I hated him for it. I got to tell you right now, I wanted that strong, I wanted that angry father. I didn't like that man anymore when he became weak. In fact, I felt that he had let me down by being human. I'm going to tell you right now. Well, right now, I'm at that tipping point in my own life. And I'm at a point where I still have a lot of fire in my blood. I have a lot of sap in my xylem. I can tell you that right now. But the day will come that I will not. And so, therefore, while I still have the fight left in me, my friends, I am going to fight. I am not rolling over to these hordes of illegal aliens, I'll tell you right now. And that doesn't mean I'm enjoying it. And many of you are cynical and you say he's doing it for ratings. Well, you know what? Walk in my moccasins for a few hours and see if I'm doing it just for ratings. You know, remember that phrase? Don't criticize a man until you've walked in his shoes for a few miles. Well, sit in my moccasins for a few miles and tell me if I'm enjoying this. But that's my problem, not yours. This is the business I am in. And I got to tell you that I actually thank these people in a certain way for reminding me the business, reminding me of the business that I am in. Maybe I had forgotten the business I am in. Maybe I had forgotten that the whole purpose of the media, including and especially talk radio, is to be provocative, entertaining if you can be, if you have the talent, and educational if you have the education. But never forget that you have to be provocative or no one's going to listen to you. All you're going to wind up with is either two Dixie cups and a string, or you're going to wind up with a blog that nobody reads. Sure, I'm provocative. But if you can find one component of race or racism in anything that I said that day, I will give you a large reward. But my friends, there is not a scintilla of race or racism in anything that I said. It has been invented by the communists who are trying to use this to foment the poor illegal aliens by using race as bait. They're race baiters. Now, why are these protesters not at work? Everyone's asking. Where are they from? How could they, these hardworking Latinos who are the backbone of our society, we were told that if they left our country, we wouldn't eat. How do they all find the time and the money to get on a train and come up from San Jose to my radio station? Diane, you're calling on my local station, KNEW. Diane, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just was going to ask you the same thing. If they're such hardworking Mexicans, what are they doing in front of your studio? And number one, how much is your Rent-A-Crowd being paid, and who is paying them?
Now, who is paying them? I'm going to read you a list of the groups that have been organized to come up by train. And you're not going to believe it, but every one of them is a far-left socialist communist front group. They're all being funded in surreptitious manner, probably by organizations, either foreign or domestic, that want to change our economic system to one of socialism or communism. These are lying communists. They're abusing the Latino community, by the way, by using them. And I find that to be completely sickening. We're all human beings. Everybody listening to this show, whether you love me, hate me, or indifferent, we are all human beings. If you prick me, do I not bleed? If you tickle me, do I not laugh? If you hate me, do you not expect me to fight back in the very same manner in which you have are attacking me? Read your Shakespeare and you'll get the rest of that particular couplet. The fact of the matter is, no nation on earth can afford to receive an unlimited number of immigrants without that nation bursting and being destroyed. This is an invasion by any name. There is no other definition for it. This nation has been invaded by illegal aliens primarily because the bosses, both Democrat and Republicans, want the cheap labor. There is no other reason that they want them here. They're abusing this community. They want the cheap labor. The people said enough is enough. The social fabric has been broken. Our hospitals, our schools, our police are being destroyed by this onslaught, and we want a deportation of the illegal alien. We want a nice, orderly America again. We want legal, orderly immigration, and we don't care where the people come from. They could come from Mexico, Guatemala. They can come from El Salvador, Nicaragua. God bless them all. If they have something to give this country and they are qualified to be immigrants, let them get online like my grandfather did. But if you think you're going to break into this country and by screaming and demanding and threatening and marching, you're going to get your way, that train has left the station, buddy. You lost this debate. You lost this debate when Congress rejected the Immigration/Reform Act. And as a result, some political lives have been destroyed. John McCain's political career is over because he backed you instead of the American people. He backed you. He didn't back the American people. He is history. And that tells you something, my friend. He backed the wrong side in this. You can scream as loud as you want. That is your constitutional right. But remember who you're screaming at. You're screaming at an immigrant son who has on numerous occasions talked with fondness and love for the Latino community, as you will soon hear when I come back on the Savage Nation. Savage. And again, I want to distinguish between the hardworking legal immigrant from Central and South America and from Mexico. I want to again tell you that the Mexican people are a wonderful people, the hardest working people I ever met in my life, family people. I told you I went into a Kentucky Fried Chicken and I saw a Mexican man with his children and I said, that's the future of America. He was there with his daughter dressed up in her prettiest dress for Sunday, taking pride in taking his wife and daughter out for a Sunday dinner in KFC. I haven't seen too many white people with their children on Sunday. They're either watching golf or they're on a business trip or God knows where they are. I have no idea. Maybe they broke back mountaineering somewhere. I have no idea. But rarely do I see a white man with his wife and children on a Sunday anywhere. But that's the world. What can I tell you? All I am is an observer. Well, there was more to that. That's, I said it a few years ago, but I went on to say something else. That Latino man, I said, hugged his daughter in the KFC and kissed her on the cheek in the most passionate way. Something I had observed when I was a kid with the immigrant fathers who were not afraid to love their children in that way, in that demonstrative way. Today, people are terrified to love their own children. But, you know, I saw that and I was touched by it. And I've had it on the show, but nobody wants to hear that. These people are using Marxist dialectic and Marxist tactics to try to smear me. The fact of the matter is they're not succeeding. They're condemning themselves because they're doing it all wrong. A, they're lying about me, and you can't beat a man when you're lying about him. At the end of the day, the truth shall prevail. And I am still having an open microphone to anyone listening to this show who can show me one racist or racial component of any so-called statement that I made thus far. And yet they keep saying the intolerant and racist comments of Michael Savage. There was no race in anything I said. And according to Selwyn Duke, whose article is up on michaelsavage.com, you've got to see it. The headline of the article is "Race Baiting Politician Attacks Michael Savage." He writes something very interesting. And he says, perhaps Sandoval wishes to imply, but illegal immigrants hail from a variety of different nations and ethnic groups. And I should also mention that some of the abstemious activists were probably white Native Americans. Thus, it wasn't any kind of consanguinity that united them, but only stupidity and perhaps a desire to shed some pounds. Then I just may know a wee bit about asceticism, and I have never known the practice of fasting to be peculiar to a given race. As for hatred, he writes, I think it is love of country that inspires one to risk reputation and limb to defend his nation. On the other hand, it's not a stretch to say that advocating policies threatening our culture, sovereignty, freedom, and prosperity just might be motivated by hatred of everything for which America stands. But accusations of racism are curious things. They're much like charges of heresy under a corrupt regime in a religious land. True or not, they're a great way to demonize opponents. In our time, the religion of the nation is defined by the irreligious dogmas of the dull, otherwise known as leftist orthodoxy, and transgressing against its tenets is a mortal sin. I'm reading from Selwyn Duke. This reveals what really bothers the Sandovals of the world. Michael Savage has been in the vanguard of the resistance, the effort to, as Savage would say, protect our borders, language, and culture. To an illegal alien apologist such as Sandoval, this is intolerable. This is why he has pulled the race card. It is the first and last ploy of the intellectually vacuous and irredeemably venal. And it just may be projection, since in the area of race, Sandoval seems to have the credibility of Al Sharpton. Now listen to this. You're not going to believe what comes next. According to H. Brown at the San Francisco Call, Supervisor Sandoval characterized the San Francisco Fire Department as being, quote, like a Dublin phone book, close quote. Let's be fair, though. I'm sure Sandoval wouldn't have minded if those of Irish descent weren't white. Then Eileen Lelchuk at sfgate.com tells us that, quote, speaking to the Harvey Milk Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Democratic Club in 01, he, Sandoval, urged San Franciscans, upset about big businesses suing the city over its payroll tax, to, quote, picket at their houses in Tiburon and at their bar mitzvahs. I'll also point out that Sandoval sat on the board of directors of La Raza Centro Legal and was the scholarship chair of the group's Lawyers Association. As you may know, La Raza means the race. Interestingly, that Sandoval was in bed with the race-based organization isn't mentioned in his biography on his website. Que pasa, Gerardo? Returning to Sandoval's comments, their content isn't as damning as his hypocrisy, as he exhibits the typical leftist penchant for playing the race card. And now I want to go down to this, and this is the last part of Mr. Selwyn Duke's great article. He's a very, very brilliant man. Never mind that I like him and he likes me and we've never met. He's just a brilliant man. He says there's a bigger issue here than Sandoval and his misfiring neurons. He belongs in a room with rubber wallpaper, attired in the morning, afternoon, evening wear that comes five sizes too small. Crazy or not, he is a foot soldier in a burgeoning effort to stifle politically incorrect dissent through social pressure, ostracism, reputation, and career destruction, the threat of legal action, and ultimately hate speech laws. As for such laws, Sandoval's and other nations have already enacted them, and their fascistic ilk here have designs on our First Amendment. Listen to this. And this is why this issue matters. Anytime a public official uses the levers of government to chill political, social, and religious commentary, the very type of expression the First Amendment was designed to protect, it is time to form a vigilance committee. Let's ensure the separation of media and state. This is why we should support the beleaguered Michael Savage, he writes. I agree with Savage, but it's not a matter of whether you love, hate, or indifferent about what he said, for you don't have to value a man's speech to value free speech for men. You hear that? You don't have to value a man's speech to value free speech for men. You're listening to some of the best writing of our generation, by the way. You know, this stuff is seminal. This stuff is like the beginning of the American Revolution Part Two. Right now, we're going through an attack upon our civil liberties and upon our freedoms unlike any I've ever seen in my life. I have never seen anything like this, and I'm not a child anymore. I've read a lot, seen a lot, lived through a lot, but I have never seen a time like this in America when so many communists are masking their hatred under the guise of compassion and using so many innocent Hispanic workers as weapons against freedom. So let us go back to what Mr. Selwyn Duke writes. And he says, you don't have to value a man's speech to value free speech for men. In most parts of the world, Western Europe, Canada, and Australia, just to name a few, Savage and many others would be charged criminally for expressing their opinions. This is frightening. We are treading the same path, and if our government ever succeeded in silencing Savage, who would be next? Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, who then? Who would be next in the food chain? So, those who cheer for the muzzling of defiant voices should take heed, as there is certainly one exception to the adage, it is easier to destroy than create. The tools of big government, tyranny. The Sandovals of the world may conjure up the demon who will burn their opponents' tongues from their mouths, but they'll soon learn that his ambition is to be master, not servant. Of course, the government is just a reflection of us. A demon can only reign over a land when erstwhile hallowed ground has been desecrated by collective vice. I have savaged Sandoval, but he is just like every other coward who embraces the fashionable passions of his age. If his ilk ever carries the day, it won't be because their passions were so powerful. It will be because our indifference was so profound. I am asking for your support. I am asking for you not to be indifferent. I am asking you to understand what is at stake. We cannot let these hateful little Marxist losers win this battle. So it's me today. Who is it tomorrow? I don't know who it's tomorrow. To me, it's me today. It's like one day I know something's going to happen that I don't like, and I'm going to have to live with it, whether it be a surgery or whatever. And then one day the Grim Reaper comes. You think I'm ready for that? Are you ready for that? Did I actually think that a horde of illegal aliens led on by communists in America would be calling for my firing? Not really. Do I welcome this? Absolutely not. Do I enjoy this? Absolutely not. But am I going to fight them? Absolutely. And I hope you fight them with me. WOR in New York, Estelle, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you know, you're going to win this case because it has no merit. I'm black, and I have to tell you, La Raza, like the NAACP and every other special interest group, is spearheaded primarily by white liberals who, as you say, never miss a chance to target minorities and tell us what's best for us. But you know, I'm really disappointed in the Fox News channel. I'm just surprised they're not highlighting this topic, because if Bill O'Reilly...
Oh, no. On the Fox, look, let me just say right now, Fox is a great disappointment to me. They are let's start with the leprechaun. The leprechaun is jealous of me because he failed in radio. I'm a huge success. Let me break it down for you. It's just mano a mano. The leprechaun is a complete flop on the radio. Everybody knows that. And the leprechaun runs Fox News like a little dictator. He has told, and I know this for a fact, at least one, maybe two hosts that they could not have me on. So you judge for yourself who to listen to. I'm not going to tell you who not to listen to or to listen to, but I'm banished from Fox. What does that tell you?
Right, but you're not the only conservative. William Donahue of the Catholic League and Coulter, they're all being chastised by this man, and I don't understand why he has so much power and he pretends...
Oh, the leprechaun doesn't like William Donahue either?
He does not. He doesn't... He can't.
Why? I thought that the leprechaun is a good Catholic boy.
No, he admitted this on another show. He's banned from his show as well.
Well, why? What, he's too Catholic?
No, he's too conservative.
Mr. Donahue is too Catholic for the leprechaun?
No, he stands by his ground. He's too conservative. That's the problem.
And Ann Coulter is too female for the leprechaun? He wants someone he can roll over and talk about loofahs with?
But the station is just a complete joke now. I don't even watch
it. Well, it has gone. It's like the CNN of 10 years ago. I know that. But it's a business like any other. They have every right to become CNN or not. They're not my enemy, though. They're just what they are. They're not my enemy. My enemy are the communists and the agitators who are going for me today, tomorrow. It'll be them, by the way. And what the leprechaun should know is today it's Savage, tomorrow it's the leprechaun, or tomorrow it's Wallbanger. But go on, Estelle. You know what's interesting to me, Estelle? Explain this to me. You say you're a woman who is of African descent. You say black woman, whatever you want to say. It's very hard for white people to talk about this in a manner that doesn't sound weird. I am watching these protests, Estelle. There's not one African-American there. Why is that?
Well, believe it or not, these liberals want you to believe that there is a connection between blacks and Latinos. They teach us that, oh, yeah, we're suffering. You know, the white man has hurt us, so we should connect together. And we have people like La Raza and NAACP who continue to promote this kind of attitude. Yeah, there has to be some kind of unification amongst the minority groups, but it's a lie. Most Latinos, unfortunately, see blacks in a stereotypical manner. They really don't see any connection with blacks. They feel more of a connection with white Europeans, but they'll never admit that. That's why you don't see them there.
And how are blacks treated in Latin countries? Are they treated well?
Have to turn on Univision, Telemundo, and just see who has the power. It's usually.
And by the way, in Castro's Cuba, how many people of actual African descent are in power there? The answer is zero. They're all of European descent. Castro is a communist, and there are no people of African descent in his inner circle. Same with Hugo Chavez. It's all a lie. But I'm going to go a step further, Estelle, and this is a very treacherous thing I'm about to ask you. Last week there was a tragedy in Newark. Three black college kids were lined up against the wall, forced to kneel. God only knows what they went through. And they were shot in the back of their head by an illegal alien from Peru and other Latino gang members. Has Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson gone to Newark to demand justice?
Not. No, they haven't gone to the Ponderosa and round up the posse to demand justice because the culprits don't have blonde hair and blue eyes. And what's more, these are college students. Remember, they're not from the ghetto. They're not authentically black in their mind, so they can't jump on this case.
Boy, you're good, Estelle. Estelle, you're good. What do you do for a living, Estelle?
Fashion designer.
Oh, my God. You make me a new suit? Design me some. I don't like male suits. Can you make a new suit for me? What would my suit look like that you would design?
Something very casual, not too flashy.
What color should I wear?
Khaki or beige. I think that would complement.
That's too commie. Khaki is like too. If it has like slots for pencils and stuff, it's too communistic. Don't you think I would look better in something more formal?
Well, let's see. Well, I would probably maybe go to next like a navy, maybe a dark navy.
Navy. My favorite color is blue. By the way, I've always loved blue. All my cars are blue, except another car. Not all. I like blue. If I could pick a color, it's blue, but Ferrari didn't make a blue that I liked. I'm joking. Estelle, you're a wonderful person. You're so articulate, and you know exactly what's going on. Which of the many things I am offering would you like? A hat, a DVD, a Healing Children, an Alzheimer's book, a cup? What would you like?
It doesn't matter. I'll leave it up to you.
Okay, I'm sending you the one thing that I really want to be my legacy, and it's not a cup. It's the Savage DVD, the Freedom of Speech Award. So stay on the line. We're going to send it out to you. Can we go back to the rally outside the station? What's going on down there?
This is what you want! This is what you want!
This is what you want? She's telling them what they want? I thought it was a rally of freedom-loving people. Are they through now, or the mic died?
Go again! That's... This is symbolic, not only of the students that Michael Savage told to go starve to death, any of whom were legal residents, were American citizens. We are also demonstrating what happens to our brothers and sisters, to our mothers, to our grandmothers, who die on the border trying to get here. We are here representing and honoring them, and we are here representing and honoring our people, the immigrant community. Is this is what you want? Is this what you want? This is what you want. This is what you want.
This is right out of Animal Farm. This hysterical wench is right out of Animal. Shut her off, please. I don't like hysterics. This is right out of Animal Farm. You know, if you were to watch the cartoon Animal Farm version, I mean, this is, they've created a false straw dog, a man who they hate, saying things I never said, and now they're working themselves up into a froth, and now they're going on to their real agenda, which is illegal immigration, and they're honoring their people again. These are very deceptive people trying to use me as a fulcrum in a podium. They're making me into the bête noir, so to speak, the boogeyman, as it were, the evil boogeyman for standing up to them. Well, they're not going to get anywhere. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to defend the First Amendment, and I'm going to defend everybody else in the media. And I hope they understand that. If they don't, then they don't understand history and what's left of this country. What part of illegal alien don't you get? They are criminals. They stole a free college education, and they're demanding a green card. I say no. You want a hunger strike? Good. Well, you know what I said. If a child says, Daddy, I'm not going to school, and if you make me go to school, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go on a hunger strike. So I say, okay, kid, you don't want to eat. Don't eat till you starve to death, and I walk out of the room. The next thing you know, they're eating a popsicle. You treat them like they are spoiled brats. I'll be back.
Savage.
Nosotros todos humanos. I've been playing that music for years. I grew up on Latin music in New York, and I understand that many of you didn't. Many of these white racists who are using the Latino people have never probably danced to Latin music or had Latin friends. You know that, and I know that. We know how the white communist operates. And I think that slowly but surely, even the left wing is starting to, I mean, the kids, you know, who don't really know anything, whose sympathies are naturally with the downtrodden, as they should be. Are coming to understand that they're being used. Slowly but surely they do, and slowly and surely they will. We'll go back to the rally. What's going on down there outside the window here at KNEW Studios in San Francisco? What's the mob doing now?
La muerte, este señor Miguel Savage o Miguel Salvaje, como sería su nombre en español.
Buenas tardes todos. ¿Cómo está la gente? ¿Cómo está mi gente? How's everybody doing? I'm one of the students that helped organize the hunger strike. Soy uno de los estudiantes.
He organized the hunger strike, the big hero. It sounds like he didn't die from it, did he? Did he die from the hunger strike? He sounds like he's got plenty of energy for a guy in a hunger strike for the last month. Blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And you'll be on the train going home tonight with your placards, and it's sad. And I feel bad for these people being brought out. By the way, if they are the backbone of American labor, I got to ask you, what jobs did they leave today that they could come up all the way from San Jose by train to protest me, a hardworking American? After all, I'm working and they're not. Unless they're working, and I'd like to know who they're working for. Who's paying these protesters, I'd like to know.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Racism and homophobia serve the same master.
Guajira, el son de llama. Vaya, 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 vaya. A gozar, Guajira.
A gozar.
El son de llama. A bailar, a gozar.
A little Guajira music for the Savage Nation. Something that many of my new Latino listeners might be shocked to realize I do on a regular basis. After all, you've been hearing nothing but lies about me. Welcome, welcome. Amigo, welcome to the Savage Nation. So a number of things are being said about me, but they're all lies. For 2 hours now, I've put out an award. Anybody who can show one scintilla of race in anything that I allegedly said to have sparked this incident will win a huge prize, but no one's called because there's no race in anything I said. All the racism is being promoted by Gerardo Sandoval and the other race baiters who are trying to use the poor Hispanic people in their attempt to push socialism in the United States of America, in this case by eliminating free speech of those they oppose. Now, there's been articles written about me, some good, some bad. Some of them are funny. A guy named Adam Gropman, who I never heard of, has a blog. That means he doesn't make a living. And he wrote, best funny radio personality. That's how they try to trivialize you. In other words, I'm funny. I'm funny. I'm as funny as let's say, George Washington was funny in his off moments. You know, I'm real funny, Adam. But I wouldn't expect anything less from a guy who writes a blog for a living. And obviously, you're a trust fund case who doesn't have to work, as I did all of my life. You've never had your birthright stolen from you, as I have by affirmative action, Adam. But some of it's entertaining, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, since I listened to Savage years ago in San Francisco, one of its local voices from that era has since turned into a huge success, becoming a widely syndicated radio host, major best-selling author, controversially fired cable TV personality, and all-around agent provocateur of the confrontational right. Then he goes into this and that. Blah, blah. The host, Michael Savage, the guy who a few years ago put out national best-selling books entitled The Enemy Within and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, he goes on to try to put me down, and then he says, but this man is a potentially brilliant late night stand-up comedian, the kind you'd find in a suburban brick-walled blue-lit lounge with an audience of attentive loner intellectuals, Manhattan-sipping sophisticates, and random angry rebels sucking up his heartfelt stream-of-consciousness barrages with more than a few grains of salt and spitting back a lot of ribald laughter. Then he goes on, listen to this. In fact, when Savage was much younger, he wanted to be a stand-up comedian in the vein of Lenny Bruce. Now, what's interesting here is that he got that from a... Let me say this. I also wanted to be Hemingway. I also wanted to be a cowboy. I also wanted to be a jet fighter pilot. But this line that I wanted to be a stand-up comedian came from an old enemy of mine who now writes obituaries for a Jewish newspaper with a circulation equivalent to his deceased father. And yet it's, again, they pick it up and they make it like it was true. Yeah, I once wanted to be like Lenny Bruce, like for 5 minutes when I liked Lenny Bruce, maybe 3 months. But I also wanted to be Hemingway for 10 years. I once wanted to be a cowboy, and I also once wanted to be a jet fighter pilot, but I found that I couldn't fly jets nor any other plane. But again, as I say, an old enemy who is a flop writes obits for a Jewish newspaper with a circulation equivalent to his deceased father, made that line up, and then it stuck for the people who want to debase me. Then, listen to what this so-called blogger writes. He says, today he denigrate Bruce as a, quote, filthy, sick, degenerate junkie who spewed irresponsible leftist hippie garbage, close quote. I never said that. In fact, the other night I said the opposite. It just shows you what passes for even bloggism today. Then he goes on, and some of it's well-written. You know, occasionally the guy can be cogent. Blah, 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 blah. He then goes on. The funny thing is Savage be saying it with a lot of the tone, rhythm, and attitude of Bruce and similarly angry comedians like Dennis Leary, Louis Black, and even Sam Kinison. I don't know who Louis Black is. Sam Kinison was a stone-hearted great genius. Savage is unique among right-wing radio hosts, even among those who display humor. While O'Reilly and Hannity both display some northeastern blue-collar neighborhood guy familiarity, both still are somewhat smoothed out by an understandable catering to middle American tastes and also by a sense of lace-curtain Irish rectitude. I don't know if that word is clean or dirty, but I read it anyway. Rush Limbaugh certainly uses humor, but his comes from a less gritty, raw, or examined place. This hefty Missourian's wit is the province of those with unassailable heartland credentials, the geographic and ethnic perfect American, the ultimate non-minority. Savage, by comparison, is a frothing, boiling cauldron of whip-smart, street-seasoned New York resentment, shtick, and neurosis. Every psychological and verbal arguing tool of the recent American ghetto has been sharpened by Savage into the oral equivalent of a lethal jailhouse shiv. Unlike some of his flimsier, stringier, more effete cohorts from that corner of the world, Savage makes Big Apple Yiddishkeit and old-school New York verbosity a wholly masculine, even powerfully macho attitude and style when he out-muscles defiant callers with his alpha ape psychotic roar. It's the radio equivalent of Harvey Keitel's Mickey Cohen in the movie Bugsy, intimidating everyone, including Bugsy Siegel himself, with his seemingly infinite, outwardly aggressive bravado. Women from Berkeley area become radical vegan. Never. Members of the liberal elite are red diaper dopa babies. I use that all the time because they're red diaper dopa babies. A rather mellifluous epithet. He even displays a little Jew bashing. Well, I won't go into that because this man is a stone-hearted Jew, self-hating Jew, so I won't even read that. Let us go on. And then he says, about his perceived political enemies, Savage says, the radical Democratic left is an army of soulless ghouls being of the living dead. They live in a world of death and try to impose it on we the living. That's a good line, my friend. Adam, you got that right. If you hear Savage recite this in his purposely semi-monotonous tone, as if he is simultaneously a vibrant human commentator and robotic messenger of unthinkable doom, the unreasonable incendiary content is clearly accompanied by another layer, the distinct ring of very good satire. And when he says things like, we are all sitting here asking ourselves, was there lead in Al Gore's silver spoon, you've simply got to credit Savage for one hell of a zinger. To imagine Savage at his comedic best, think of a darker, throatier Larry David gone 10 times meaner and a lot further into the murky, ugly waters of the stream of consciousness. What's interesting is that his core audience of heartland Americans, self-proclaimed salts of the earth, who state calmly in flat, twangy tones what would have been thought of years ago as radical, reactionary political thought, have not only bonded with this pushy, aggressive New Yorker know-it-all, but many of them have adopted him as their socio-political savior. And you know why, Adam? Do you know why, Adam? Do you know why they've adopted me? Because I'm not you. Because I'm not a punk sitting at a typewriter. I have the guts to come out here and put my body on the line and my mind on the line, Adam. And one day you'll learn that there's a part of you that actually loves me, Adam. And when you become a man, you'll see why. But right now, since you're just a boy with a computer, you can't understand why they love me. With his superhuman confidence, can I go on here? It's actually not bad. Some of it's pretty good. With his super, hey, by the way, no, let's take a break for a minute. If anyone's driving around in San Francisco or anywhere else, when I say three, I want you to turn your lights on. If anyone's in the vicinity of KNEW or anywhere on the highways and byways and you support Michael Savage, I want you to flash your lights on and off 10 times. So we're going to go 3, 2, 1, flash the commies, flash, 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 and you'll see you're not so alone. Unless there's a transvestite highway patrolman, I think you're going to get away with it. With his superhuman confidence and chutzpah, Savage somehow makes this all seem as complimentary and natural as apple pie washed down with a kosher egg cream. But just as the Simpsons can be taken on two totally different levels, the upper sarcastic ironic and the lower iconic outrageous, so can Savage's show. And he says, and I don't think the majority of his listeners take it for the theater of the politically absurd that it usually becomes. Savage quite simply says things that no other major conservative host would even conceive of. He openly admits to loving the environment and often speaks fondly about nature. He recalls his years as a credentialed scientific researcher. Adam, go the next step. Say 2 master's degrees and a PhD, Adam. You can do it, Bubbler. You're such an honest, good boy. Say 2 master's degrees, say PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. You don't have to try to denigrate me because you're only denigrating yourself. Some of these diversions not only stray from the political, they seemingly have nothing to do with any relevant topic whatsoever. Savage is an avid reader and revels in his knowledge of certain classic authors, philosophers, and even poets. One of his quirky catchphrases is, "Do you know what I'm talking about?" Although he calls the show the Savage Nation himself, the general, I don't call myself the general, by the way. I did so the first 3 months. And he calls the studio the bunker. No, Adam, I haven't done so since 14 years ago. Going so far as to play exploding bombs and machine guns for bumper music, that I do. Savage will launch into serious and knowledgeable discussions of his favorite wines and Italian restaurants. Now listen to how he tries to denigrate you. Listen to what this effete snob tries to say about my audience. With an audience that tends toward mashed potatoes, Coors Light, and Marlboros, he loves his vintage Shiraz, plate of Tuscan braised pork, and fat Dominican cigars? Is he crazy? First of all, I don't eat pork. Secondly, I don't smoke. And thirdly, I hate Shiraz. I don't even know what it is. See, but this is an example. It's like saying I was a racist because I said let them, you know, fast until they starve to death. They make this stuff up. They make it up. I don't eat Tuscan braised pork. I don't like vintage Shiraz. I don't even know what Shiraz is. It's like a cheap wine. And I never smoked a cigar. Don't confuse me with the golfer. He says he is now the rarest of species. An extremely wealthy, academically credentialed, anti-elitist, populist firebrand, and gluttonous gourmand. I don't know about the gluttonous gourmand, but the rest of it is close to the truth. If Savage wasn't real, which I am, he'd be a character in a T.C. Boyle short story. I don't know who T.C. Boyle is. I know I'm much bigger than whoever it may be. He rightfully complained when a Republican president stole his radio show coin term, compassionate conservative. That was Bush with me, a Republican president. However, I would dub Savage with another delightfully contradictory title. What is this? Angry Epicurean. See, even that makes him funny. See, what they try to do is, you're funny, you're funny. In other words, they try to dismiss you. The commies call me racist, which I'm not. This guy tries to call me funny, which I can be when I want to be. But they all miss the point. Why don't you just say, genius patriot, and then you'll get it just right, Adam Bubbler. But one day, you shall be a man, Adam. Right now, you're still a little boy who has not yet even gone to his confirmation. I'll be right back.
Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
On item 63, Supervisor Ellsburn?
Aye.
Ellsburn to aye. Supervisor Ju?
No.
Ju, no. Supervisor Maxwell? Maxwell, aye. Supervisor McGoldrick?
Aye.
McGoldrick, aye. Supervisor Mercurimi? Mercurimi, aye. Supervisor Peskin?
Aye.
Peskin, aye. Supervisor Sandoval?
Aye.
Sandoval, aye. Supervisor Aliotto-Peer? Aliotto-Peer, aye. Supervisor
Thank
Amiano?
Thank you. Thank you, Aliotto.
Amiano, aye.
Thank
Supervisor
you for the
Daly?
Knife in the back. They're all the same.
Supervisor
Lefty. Aliotto voted
Duffy,
against me, too.
Aye.
Nice people.
There are 9 ayes, 1 no.
The resolution fails.
Racism and homophobia serve the same master. Yeah.
Well, guess what? One man. It's one man stopped the attack on Savage. It wasn't Peskin. It wasn't Aliotto Peer. You know who it was? It was a man I never met. It was a man named Ed Ju, who happens to be a Chinese-American who was being unfairly attacked by these left-wing gangsters because he won't be rolled over by them. And the Chinese-American community in this city is extremely powerful. But they're different than the left-wing communists who are running this city into the ground and making a mockery of everything that's fair and just. Chinese people, most of them fled communism, or they had parents who fled communism. They know communism when they hear it. They smell communism when they smell it. They see communism when they see it. And Ed Ju, who doesn't know me and I don't know him, said no. He was the only one. It was not Peskin who said no. It was not Aliotto Peer who said no. And shame on you, Aliotto Peer, for this. I will never forgive you for this. You know, I know these families. They'll never see me again. You'll never see me at any of your little weddings ever again. I'm telling you right now. No more. You're going to stab me in the back like this? You just made me not into your friend, I can guarantee you. We'll see where the chips may fall, my friend. But I made a lot of friends down here in San Francisco, some of whom I don't even know. But I can guarantee you in the coming weeks and months, I'm going to be meeting with a lot of people in the Chinese American community in San Francisco. I can guarantee you. And we're going to form a new coalition in this city. And this coalition is going to take this city back from the vermin who have run it into the ground and turn it into the laughingstock of the free world. Maybe we need a Chinese American mayor to save this city from the vermin that run it, from the left-wing drug addicts who have taken it over, from the illegitimate phony liberals who are destroying freedom in this city. Maybe it will be a Chinese American who saves San Francisco, after all, from itself. Because the Chinese built this city, if you want to know the truth. We keep hearing that the Chinese were laborers, but you don't hear them bellyaching. Sure, their great-grandfathers may have labored building the railroads and many of the structures in the city, but they didn't protest. They didn't scream. They didn't walk with signs. They didn't get bussed in or driven in or trained into a protest. They worked and they saved every penny and they gave it to their son. He did the same and he gave it to his son. He did the same and he gave it to his daughter. And today the Chinese Americans proudly own a good portion of the city and the surrounding area because they did it the good American way through hard work and wise investments. And that's how they differ from the communists who run this city, who are losers through and through. The only thing these people can make is money through government. And the only thing that they can do is steal hard-earned taxpayer money and use it for their pet projects or to bus in illegitimate protesters. Believe me, at the end of the day, they have not done themselves a favor by attacking me. They have only shown themselves to be the frauds and the cowards that they really are. Shame on all of you who voted against me. You will never forget this as long as you live, because I know friends who know you, and you're going to find out that they're not too happy with what you did either. You're all cowards and you're all frauds.
Savage.
I don't know if this is my finest moment, but it's got to rank up there. I got to tell you something. I'm very proud of myself. I don't know how else to put it. And I don't use those terms easily. I'm very hard on myself. I've done a lot in my life because I whip myself on. I'm leveling with you. This is like an open mic to my soul in some ways every day. You know that. Those of you who come to listen to the show, you know, those who don't really get it mock me or resent me. But those who love me understand, sure, I'm flawed. Oh, yeah. Sure, I'm as flawed as any man on earth, if not more so. I admit that. But you know where my sentiments are. You also know that, okay? Now, I got to tell you something. These people are hating me in the street. What man wants to be hated? Is it a natural desire of a man who was born of woman to want to be hated? Not unless he's crazy. Well, I'm born of woman, and I would rather be loved than hated. No, it doesn't feel good to be hated, particularly by, I think, innocent people who are being manipulated by the Sandoval communist Soviet era bureaucrat types, the Ammiano nutcases who need to be put in a room with rubber wallpaper, as Selwyn Duke says. They're being fomented by the communist left. But I got to tell you something. It is one of my finest moments of my life. And I will tell you why. Because they look so bad and I look so good. For 2.5 hours now, I've been on this show. I have opened this microphone up across America. Remember, there are over 10 million people listen to this show. It's probably closer to 20 million, ratings being as inefficient as they are. I'm on over 370 stations from coast to coast, from border to border, every day, 5 days a week, for almost 15 years. So there must be something in this other than what the enemies say that I do. There must be an awful lot more going on here. Sure, I can be funny. I can be serious. Whatever you want me to be, I can be to you. And many people take what they want from this and then say that's all there is. But there's a complex man here. And no man wants to be hated. I would rather that they were marching saying, I love you. But I've stood up to them. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to take a little vacation, maybe Friday. I'm going to get out of town because I can't take the heat anymore. I don't like sleeping with loaded shotguns and loaded pistols next to my bed. I got to tell you the truth. You say I'm being dramatic, so be it. You want to live in your own gaslit world, go ahead. That's how I live. Do I want to sleep with loaded shotguns and loaded pistols? No. Would I rather live in a world where a man could speak his peace, as America once was, before the communist rats infected the body politic like they have and have almost given us a disease that we cannot cure? There was a time when a man could speak out and not have to sleep with loaded guns. So I'm going to get out of town for a while, and I may or may not be on the air from this hidden location. But when I come back, God willing, I'm going to call a protest march for people who love me. And there won't be 400 people with placards. There won't be 4,000 people with placards. I will tell you right now, there'll be more like 10,000 to 20,000 people with placards. I just got an email from the Minutemen. They have 2,000 people they want to come to the city and march for me and march against the illegal immigrants who are trying to steal the First Amendment. They're a wonderful group of people, the Minutemen, despite what George Bush and the leprechaun said about them. They'll be there, and I can guarantee you you'll be there. I'll get people coming as far away as Boston to this rally. I'll get people from Canada. I'll get people from New Zealand and Australia. You want to see a demonstration? I'll fill a stadium with people. It'll be free. It will be free. No admission. I'm not going to make a dime off this. You want your voices to be heard? They're going to push me. I'm going to hold the first rally I've held in over 3 years. I'll have to work on it. I will do it. And then we'll find out who's funny. We'll find out if Michael Savage is funny or serious. Then we'll find out if the country backs the illegal aliens or they back the stadium full of people. I'll work on it. Let's go outside the studio now and see what the poor people are saying now. Play it, please. They're gone. No audio. They're wrapping up. Can he please get me some of their signs? Because they're going to go in the Michael Savage Museum. Can he gather some of these signs condemning Michael Savage? I would love them. Tell Drew to get as many as he can, please. And Mike, the engineer. I want to thank Mike Schweitzer, the engineer, and Drew Bader for putting up with this. They had to tell people they were from NPR, I think, to avoid. I said, if you're going to walk around with the mic, he said, I'm going to dress like a hippie. I said, well, it's not too hard for you to do. I said, just tell him. He said, well, what do I do if they attack me? I said, tell me you're from NPR. He did that, I think. So far he survived. Get the signs, though. They're going to the museum. I'm going to auction them off at eBay. I'll raise money for the Marines or whatever. You know, the show's going to come to an end in a number of minutes. And this will be forgotten in a very short period of time. The poor people are going to go home. You know, what did they really gain today? They let go a little steam, and I don't know. I feel bad for them. But you got to ask yourself, if they're the backbone, I keep going back to the same point. If these Latino workers who were trained up from San Jose, hundreds of them, to hate me for the day, for the few hours, are the backbone of American labor, and we keep being told if they don't work, we starve to death, what jobs exactly do they perform that they could take off the whole afternoon, and who paid them? Who is behind these Latino groups who are trying to get me fired and trying to force green cards upon these tens of millions of illegal aliens? Well, I know who my friends are. I know who my enemies are. I made a lot of new friends and I made a lot of new enemies that I didn't know existed. People who ha-ha'd me and invited me to their home. Let me tell you, that's the last you're ever going to ha-ha me. But one of my new friends is a wonderful man, Dan Horowitz. Dan, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Dan, how do you feel today? Do you feel that they won or we won?
Michael, I feel so elated, and you have my congratulations. You won in the Board of Supervisors. You know, it takes 8 cowards to come out, but one hero, Ed Yu, had the strength to come forward and join with you, and that's all it takes. It takes heroes like you guys to bring the First Amendment justice, to fight for America. You're doing it, and you won.
Well, yeah, I didn't know Ed before this, and he doesn't know me. I mean, I'd like to take him to dinner. I'd love you to be there, and I think we're going to probably be able to do that. But, yeah, he's being attacked by these Soviet-era bureaucrats. Dan, did you hear the rhetoric of my antagonist, Sandoval, when Mr. Jew did not go along with the condemnation vote? Did you actually hear what he said?
I heard what he said. He evoked racial stereotypes, which for a politician who's elected is totally inappropriate. But
wait a minute. Gerardo Sandoval, who calls me a racist without any evidence, used the phrase on Mr. Edu. He said, why would you resort to this empty and rigid formalism? You took that to be racism, did you?
Sure, because it evokes a stereotype of Chinese people as rigid and formalistic, which maybe they were in 2,000 years ago in imperial China, you know, but not now. Now we're all Americans, aren't we, Mr. Sandoval? We're all the same. It's the melting pot. He never heard of that.
Dan, look, you're a good liberal. You've worked the liberal world for a long time. I want to read to you some of the people who went out there to attack me today with lies. I want you to tell me who they are and where they get their money from. Agora Media, Alianza Latin America, Bay Area Immigration Rights Coalition, Centro Azteca, Centro Latino Cus Atlan, Coalición Primero de Mayo, El Comité de Padres Unidos, Father Stephen Kapler, pastor of St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church, Berkeley, Immigrant Legal Resource Center, Movement for Unconditional Amnesty, Progressive Jewish Alliance, Reverend Phil Lawson, Director of Interfaith Housing, East Bay Housing Organizations, Rising Immigrant Scholars Through Education, Voluntarios de la Comunidad. Wait, and I got 20 organizations from Los Angeles that were bust up here. Who paid for this, Dan, and your guess? Who paid for this?
I've been listening to your show since I got out of court today, and I think you've got the point. These are professional political groups. They make up names. They agitate ultimately for an anti-U.S. agenda. And can I make a point, Michael? If they really cared about Mexico, and if they really cared about Mexicans, first of all, they'd speak the way you did about 4:30, about your true compassion for these people and their love of family, which you don't hear them saying. They're anti-Michael Savage. If Michael Savage went away, what would be better in Mexico? Nothing. Why are they not advocating for getting the oil money out of the hands of the corrupt politicians and into the hands of the poor Mexican people so that they wouldn't have to come here in desperation? You hear none of that. So maybe they're funded by the rich in Mexico, for all I know, who want to loot that country and foist their problems on us. I don't know.
Wow. I never thought of that one, Daniel. But you work with the ex-president of the Ukraine who was attacked by the communists, so you know a little bit more about the big picture in that realm that I do. Daniel and audience, listen to the groups that were trained and bussed up from Los Angeles to hate me today. Academia de Lideres Latinos, CAMEX, Club Marabasio Michoacan, Ex Braceros Workers Organization, Federation and Organization of Migrants, Fundacion Unión y Progreso Michoacano, LA Community Legal Center Mexican Movement, Mujeres Unidas del Sur de California, Organización de Mujeres en Movimiento, Organización de Poblanos Unidos, Padres de Huntington Park, Padres de Wilmington, Padres del Sorista, Parents of Southeast LA, Paracuaya de la Sagrada Familia Long Beach, Polidor Foundation, Pro-Immigrant Coalition of Placita Olvera. Who are these people?
Names sound like old communist front group names, don't they? They really do.
But how did they get organized? Who do you think is doing this? Is it that communist lawyer who killed Proposition 187, Daniel? Is he behind all of this?
You know, Michael, I think it's probably broadly funded. There's a broad funding for all of these divide America into different groups. I mean, we're controlled to a large degree in our speech and in our politics by people who divide and conquer. And I don't think it's just one group out there, but I think it's a movement that has been weakening America for many, many years. And you're fighting them, and I think you're actually winning in many ways, Michael. I really do. I think
See, they just lost in Congress, and they're stunned. They were told by the two parties behind the scenes that they're going to win. La Raza was invited into the White House with Bush and Kennedy and McCain, and La Raza drafted that Immigrant Reform Act. It came out that it was drafted in secret by 8 gangsters in Congress, and La Raza was one of the people in there. Do you know that La Raza rewrote the laws, and they said that people who are red-tagged to be deported because they're felons would now be given green cards? This came out when Jeff Sessions, the great senator from Alabama, disclosed this. So La Raza failed them. They cannot believe that they didn't pull this off. They used every trick in the book against the American people, and it flopped. And now they're going after me, and then they're going to go after the others. But I think, frankly, that they're on the run. I think they lost, and they're going to lose. They lost there, and they're going to lose here, Daniel. I don't think that they have a chance anymore to resurrect their movement.
As you spoke out, you said what Americans are thinking, and you took the heat from it. You still are taking the heat from it. You say what we all want to say. You say it clearly, and when they attack you, and then you come back saying, I love immigrants, I'm in favor of legal immigrants, you just knock them right out, Michael. You beat them so badly today on your show because you spoke the truth. You're not hateful, and they are. And this keeps happening. You keep getting broadcast, and 10 million people are hearing you this week.
Well, here's what I'm going to do now, Daniel, and this is a sensitive issue. This guy Sandoval, who is using this communist dialectic compares me to Nazis in clip 10. I want to listen to a part of it, and I want Daniel as an attorney to respond to this kind of hysteria. Please play clip 10.
This kind of speech just incites behavior that is nothing short of hysteria, and it's the kind of hysterical behavior that we saw in Nazi Germany 60 years ago, and it's the kind of behavior that preps, it's the kind of speech that preps the American public and any public to which it's directed for further legislative acts that we will all regret. And I often find myself thinking what our colleagues were doing in these chambers in 1944 when the U.S. government was rounding up Japanese Americans. You know, people like to say, well, we should be more concerned with potholes and with keeping the libraries open. Yes, to a large extent we should be. But what do we do when these things happen? And this is an instance of hate speech that is a prelude to hysterical behavior both on the part of the public and of the U.S. government that we should speak up against, just like many spoke up against Don Imus when he made
All right, so let's stop right there. Dan, did he go over the line here trying to get me fired?
I don't know if he went over the line by that statement. He's almost incoherent and babbling like he's on drugs.
Nothing made sense. He linked up Don Imus with Hitler and Japanese Americans. Is this guy as loony as he sounds? Isn't this the same man who said we don't need a military on Hannity and Combs?
He's a little bit bizarre. He could be unstable. He's not logical. He's a lawyer from a good university. It's funny, he lost his license for some reason, according to the State Bar website, for a year. I don't know if he didn't pay.
Oh, did he now? Did you know this loser also has a tiny radio show somewhere? And just like Sharpton and Jackson, who have loser radio shows, who went after Imus, posing as reverends when in fact they were just jealous talk shows trying to fire him? This is the same thing here. You know, this is an example of trying to take away my millstone, trying to steal my economic advantage. There's got to be something here, Dan, but we'll talk about that amongst ourselves over another bottle, not of Shiraz, I hope. Daniel, last words on the Savage Nation today.
Enjoying your victory today. Today is a day of victory. We can battle many, many more days, but today you won, and I've just been enjoying that fact.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to take you and your lovely bride to dinner with Mr. Ed Ju in Shanghai 1930. And in the next 10 days, we got to go have dinner down there and meet some really good new Americans and new friends. And I hope that you'll join us.
We will, Michael. Congratulations.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you very much. At least I know I have friends. I know who they are. I do. And as I say, every man has his moment. I think this has been my moment. I'm proud of myself. You ask my family. I don't ever say that. I'm too hard on myself. I admit it. That's why I whip myself on like a horse all my life. And sometimes they say to me, Dad, you should be proud of yourself. And I said, not really, don't say it. Because I don't know how to react to that kind of thing. And I never, ever say it about myself because I feel it's, I know something wrong with it. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't need you to say it to me, for me. I'm proud of myself. I did not resort to hating. You know that poem, If, where I read it at the beginning? Listen to this. I read this. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be your man, my son. There was another couplet, which is, if you cannot resort to hating even though all around you are. Do you remember that? Do you have that recording of If that I did years ago, guys? Can we get that during? Do we have a break coming up, of course? We have a break. Then when we come back, I'm going to try to find If. If I can't find the recording, I'm going to read it. And then we're going to go out playing the Star Spangled Banner. And we're going to flash our lights across America for freedom and the First Amendment. Get ready for the Star Spangled Banner, because I guarantee you that you're going to feel so proud of yourself today at the end of this show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
That's the theme song of the Savage Nation. To life in any community, it means the same. Of course, to Sandoval, Alioto, Pier, Peskin, and the other death worshippers, Para Vivir has another meaning entirely. I want to read you If by Rudyard Kipling. I want you to see what has guided me these many years. I heard this when I was 20 years old. I've carried a copy around, a dog-eared copy somewhere with me my whole life, through storms, Fiji, Tonga, you name it. I always have a copy somewhere. Here it is. Maybe it'll help you. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand. Please stand, or if you're in your car, whatever you have to do, put your hand over your heart, because that's what I'm going to do. God bless America. God bless America. God bless America. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. God bless America for letting me be a man. Savage.